Welcome to the Continuous Delivery Podcast. My name is Zarar.
I'm Chuba.
I'm Cheesy.
And I'm Kino.
Today's question is, do we need Agile to do continuous delivery?
Interesting question. So I guess it sort of comes back to the question of what is Agile? And does it still hold the same meaning as it did maybe when the people who originally pulled together the ideas that led to continuous delivery? So right now, in my opinion, whenever people talk about Agile, they think about things like Scrum or even worse, they think about SAFe. And we have so many organizations out there who are claiming to do Agile, but that what they're actually doing is nothing that looks like what I would consider what would be necessary in order to go to continuous delivery. So to circle back to the question, do we need Agile? Well, if you're talking about Scrum, then my answer is no. If you're talking about SAFe, my answer is hell no. I don't know that you need that sort of Agile in order to go to continuous delivery.
Do we actually care of how we call what that, whatever you guys want to call it, like process or framework, when continuous delivery on its own has value for the organization? And I could go to the most extreme, and I could go back to one of the things that one of the teams did when, like, this is way back, like probably 2005, 2006, where we were using some very, very basic tools like cruise control and Ant to do a very automated pipeline. I wouldn't call it continuous delivery, but we try to automate a bunch of our deployment and our processes. And that at the time we worked what would today qualify as waterfall. So we didn't even have the concept such as continuous delivery, or at the time I didn't even hear about Agile. Yet it had its own validity and its own use for us to automate. So I would kind of turn it back is do we actually care at all what is our framework or our processes?
I think we do care in that if the process is really heavyweight or has like a lot of structure, then it tends to slow people down. It tends to make it more rigorous or more difficult for people to work together. So where I've seen be the most successful in continuous delivery is where people use very, very lightweight process. So in other words, back to Zarar's question, what do we need? I think we need teams of people that work very, very closely together, who have a focus on quality and technical excellence and a passion for delivering product. And that's kind of the baseline essential that I think is necessary. So is it important for them to have daily stand-ups? I don't think it is. If it helps them, then great, do it. But is it essential? No. Is it essential to have a lot of the ceremonies that we might typically associate with quote-unquote Agile? Probably not. What you should have is what's the minimum that helps the team deliver software rapidly.
Right. So it all comes back again to, are you implementing the mindset that is supposed to be an Agile mindset, that is reducing all that waste, trying to get feedback as fast as you possibly can, trying to automate things, making things as small as possible. Whatever practices you're using to do that, that's fine, as long as it works for you in your context. And those practices might be very different from the ones that are generally called Agile practices. That's not really the objective, right? Agile is a means to an end, not the practices, I mean, is a means to an end. It's not the end goal in itself.
I really like where you guys are going with this. And when I mentioned processes, I was mainly focusing on, I would say, business processes. You don't necessarily have to marry the business processes or the business methodologies with software delivery methodologies, in the sense that only if you do Scrum or only if you do Kanban, you can do continuous delivery. This is where I was trying to allude to. And you know, to your point, whatever works for a team to help them to deliver software.
I think it depends on where in your continuous delivery journey you are. I think if you are a, I don't know, like let's say a more modern team, which is maybe operating in a somewhat of a half decent stack, you have decent tooling, you're fairly new to the industry. Maybe in the last 10, 15 years, you came into the industry. A lot of Agile was kind of default as part of your working environment. You already were talking to other developers, other business partners, much more frequently than maybe what people were doing 20 years ago. So to that audience, if you tell them you need to do Agile, you might even get laughed out of the room because they're already doing a lot of the things that the manifesto kind of alludes to. Customer collaboration, you know, if they have a product owner, they're probably doing a little bit of that. So I can see why that message doesn't resonate with that category of teams. But if you're an older generation team, if you're working on a lot of legacy stuff and your organizational structures are such that communication happens a certain way, and if you want to, and you're very early in your continuous delivery journey, I think it makes a lot of sense to start with the basics that the Agile Manifesto kind of equips us with.
What you're basically saying, Zarar, is that for the teams who are not as mature yet, and for the teams who do not apply those practices and live those principles, if you will, the Agile methods might be a good stepping stone to get to continuous delivery to benefit from that. I think I totally agree with this. But it doesn't mean that it's a prerequisite to get there. And no, I'm not suggesting that that's what you're saying, but just trying to clarify what you just said.
Yeah, I mean, there's also like a shock effect of the manifesto that still happens. Like when you tell teams, you know, we value working software over comprehensive documentation, and we talk about the principles that, you know, working software is a primary measure of progress. It evokes a response that generates a lot of good conversation, which usually results in the introduction of new mindsets or new practices. So it's still essential to get the ball rolling.
The interesting question, sometimes what I noticed, especially in team level transformations, that when you have a team which used to work in a traditional way with all the traditional processes, and very quickly, let's say they adopt, let's just say pick Scrum, right? They adopt Scrum, and very, very, very quickly, they bump into technical limitations. They very, very, very quickly bump into the fact that all those technical practices kind of they cannot fit into this new world. So now the question, if I might ask back to you guys, how important it is that during these transformations, these technical practices to be on the forefront of the conversations, which sometimes unfortunately don't always happen.
It is important to see them as part of what helps you get to continuous delivery. It's important to see them as basically as a way to really implement this agile mindset and to get to value delivery in an effective way. A lot of teams, however, do not necessarily see this as their biggest constraint. When you're in a team that does 3 months or 4 months of requirements gathering and then develops something for 2 or 3 months or maybe longer, and then sends things off to a QE team, and then later you deploy that, if that's how you work, well, then you don't require technical practices right now at this very moment to make a significant improvement in your process and get value from it. If you then structure your work differently so that you can deliver it in increments or get some benefit from feedback along the way, you will already get tremendous benefit. So it really depends on the situation whether or not you should put the technical practices up front. However, as soon as you get to a reasonable cadence, your technical practices will very quickly become the bottleneck, right? So you need to address them then.
So, but I don't think that we're trying to talk about, you know, teams that are doing waterfall or Scrum Bot here. You know, we're talking about teams that are doing continuous delivery. And so for me, I have never seen a organization or a group do continuous delivery that didn't have continuous integration, that didn't have pipelines, that didn't have robust automation suites, mostly centered and focused in unit tests, etc. So if we're talking about a team that can't deliver, would it help? For sure, it would. You know, but I think if we're talking about teams that are delivering every day, then I personally believe it is absolutely essential. And I'd be interested to be proven wrong. You know, so I'd like to see a team maybe that doesn't do that and understand what they do. But I think that these practices are essential. And just back to something Zarar said a little while ago as well, which is, yeah, on that journey toward getting there, toward getting to continuous delivery, Agile might help. And absolutely, I mean, if you've got a team, again, who doesn't have the ability to deliver rapidly, you know, bringing in some form of a methodology would help yet again. But my experience has been, though, that as teams get to a place where they start to deliver better and more frequently, they tend to shed a lot of those practices or a lot of those ideas.
I'm thinking of Agile more as like training wheels. It's like when you're learning how to ride a bike, you put on these training wheels to make sure you don't fall over. A lot of the frameworks that people use, like Scrum, gives you those training wheels, which kind of get you up from working in a very inefficient way to somewhat of a, if not efficient, not completely inefficient. There's higher bandwidth communication there. It kind of puts the skeleton of continuous delivery up, not even close, but it at least gets you going in the right direction. And at some point, you have to discard the training wheels. At some point, you will discard Scrum. Because I would even say that if you started off doing Scrum and you're still doing Scrum after a period of time, then maybe you haven't inspected and adapted as much as you need to.
Yeah, and that's totally fair, right? If you keep on doing that and you're using the same method over and over, then you're definitely not implementing the mindset, at least, that we're after. So it's great that you're saying that there are that Agile or the Agile methods or the frameworks out there are should be considered as training wheels, and I 100% agree with that. And there is a lot of value in looking at them that way. My fear is, though, that the industry doesn't see it that way, and they see it more as a target, and as Cheesy brought up SAFe really early on in this conversation, and one of the challenges that I always had with that model was that it seems so defined that it doesn't look anymore as if it's something that you should start with and then change to adapt as you are evolving and to make it better. It looks like it's kind of an end state, which it's far from. And that seems to be the issue that is always popping up. And if we just could convince or people could see this as a set of training wheels, as something to start from, as something to give them structure and get used to before they then start adopting their own practices that make sense for them and that are specifically tailored to their environment, that would be a way better situation to be in. There was a while ago, a couple of years ago, during an open space that somebody asked me, when do you stop doing retrospectives? So I asked a question back at them. And after a while, when everyone was really trying to figure out reasons why to stop retrospectives, I said, the only time that you can no longer improve is when an idea pops into your head and a second later, it's available for your end customers. Until we're there, we haven't implemented Agile fully. So there's always room to improve.
And that concludes this edition of the Continuous Delivery Podcast. Goodbye.